Welcome to the Wellness Renaissance Podcast, exploring topics to help you find the pieces that fit into your health puzzle.
Being a person that can recognize strengths is huge. And once you can find your own strengths, it's easier for you to recognize them in others, which builds a whole culture of appreciation, which is a beautiful thing.
Hey there, everyone. This is Judy with Wellness Renaissance and Wellness Renaissance Podcast. The voice you just heard was Barb Bankson, and she is with us today from Perception Coaching. And she shares with us about a few of the tools that she uses. One of them is Gallup's Strength Finder, and that's the one she's referring to in the little quote out front there, where there are 34 strengths, I believe it is, that they basically put in order for you as sort of a list of the ones that you most call upon. And what I love about what she says is that whole aspect of when we have the opportunity to learn about ourselves and how we function and operate in the world, and we can take that information and recognize that in other people and help them see their strengths as well. It's just a pretty cool thing. Something I have certainly understand, but have thought about it a little differently. And the neat aspect of, say, doing something like this, the Gallup Strengths Finder, and all that brings forward, not only for ourselves, but for those around us. So just a nice little side effect. I had the opportunity to do the Strengths Finder and then go through it with Barb, and it's really cool. It's really impressive. And yeah, there's certainly a good amount of information there to process, and I'll talk about that through our discussion too. She shares about the emotional intelligence test that she works with as well, and touches on some of the other tools that she utilizes too. So we're going to dive into the whys and the what it is about these tools that can help us in different ways and in different places in our life, and how she enjoys working with people and helping them find and hone in on their skills, their passion, their goals around work, life, even health more efficiently. So let's head on in and talk to Barb. Welcome, Barbara, again. We get to hear your voice in the podcast.
Thank you, Judy.
About what you do. Barbara Bankson, and if her name sounds familiar, she's been on one of the earlier episodes with a few of the other coaches on a little community podcast that we did. But this time you're solo. It's all you.
Well, that's a little responsibility.
The pressure. So let's hear, kind of give me the elevator speech of the work that you do with Perception Coaching.
Well, Perception Coaching, I'm a certified life and executive coach. I'm also an education consultant as a retired teacher. And I'm a certified Gallup Strengths coach and a certified emotional intelligence coach. So I work with individuals, families, teams, groups to help them build their understanding of themselves and of others so that they can be more successful.
And so you mentioned the Strengths Finder and you mentioned the emotional intelligence.
Yes.
So those are two different things.
Those are two different things, and being an educational psychologist, I can access a lot of different instruments for understanding oneself, one's personality, or however you take that. But those two instruments, I like the validity of the assessments.
Okay.
And they measure really different things. The Strengths Finder looks at the 34 strengths and the talents you naturally have. And they really look at talents that you can develop into strengths. So a Strengths Finder is a little bit of a misnomer, but it works. It's what it's about. It's about looking at strengths. And the emotional intelligence looks at five different areas that emotional intelligence operates when you're in that zone. So problem solving, how you express yourself, how you relate to others, your stress management, those are all aspects that emotional intelligence helps you with. So you might score low in Clifton Strengths Finders for empathy, but yet you may have very good emotional intelligence. So they're really measuring different things. One's your approach and one's your understanding and use of. So it's kind of nice to have a couple tools that define different things about yourself.
Okay. So before we get into kind of the meat of those a little bit more, talk a little bit about just how you got here, how you decided to kind of
So you were in education before, now you're doing more, your focus is coaching and working with people and teams, etc. How did you go from one to the other? And has this kind of been a lifelong path for you of doing this type of work?
Oh, it's definitely been a lifelong path. You know, as a child, you may have found yourself really shining in certain places and then failing in what seemed like the same places. and you keep trying and going on, and you recognize the things that you have and can't understand why they don't pay off. And, you know, I had that really erratic success story for myself where I was really, really able to achieve in some areas. And then in what appeared to be parallel areas, I could not achieve. And it was just always mind-boggling to me that, why can't I get this together when this is so together? So as I went, and then I went into education because some of it is, what do you know and how do you use it? So I went into education when I had children because I wanted them to get more out of that school system than I got. And as a teacher, I found, you know, we had some really bright minds. And they struggled oftentimes with different aspects of things. And a general thing in education is we really need to help those kids reach the basic minimum standards because we want everyone to function well. And sometimes our high ability students were kind of left behind. And sometimes our low ability students weren't recognized for the high abilities they had. So that I had trouble with that. So I taught a group of math and language arts students that were high ability, and I really had a hard time not including everybody, you know, to just say, no, this is what it takes to be high ability. So once we had a classroom full of students of 36 sometimes, because I didn't know when to say when, but because, like I said, there's not really a way to say you're not talented. Mm-hmm. I could always see the talent, so it was really difficult. Once I had a class full of students, I would, give assignments, give instruction, give opportunities to practice and explore. And there were always handfuls of students that would do really well on assessments and not do very well in work, or do really well in the work and not do very well in the assessments, and do really well when they're working by themselves and not do very well when they're working with a group, you know. So there is obviously that uneven development of skills, because they had certain things that were indicators of talent, and my goal was to help them develop some of those other things so that they would be ready for college, even though we were at the intermediate middle level at that point. So that would be, you know, grades 3 through 8. But we know that when students are learning, if they're not challenged, but they can naturally do things, those are often our underachievers later, because they don't know how to handle a challenge. So trying to pose them those challenges was my role, but then accommodate that challenge with appropriate support. You know? Right. Okay. So I went and did master's work in engagement and motivation, because, well, maybe they're just not motivated to do their homework, or maybe they're not motivated to work with others, or, you know, so I worked on that, you know, applying those theories. Kids really enjoyed being in class. It did not change those academic behaviors that I hoped to change, but they really enjoyed being in class, so they were always there, so right. That was good.
Right.
Which led then going into educational psychology and looking at cognition and learning. How do we take in information? What do we attend to? How do we retrieve it? You know, all those good things that really talk to the mechanics of learning and how those work and how they're different for most people, you know, how, what the differences are and what are some key strategies that work for different people, you know. So just looking at strategies and how people learn. And that's where I ended up with the PhD in educational psychology. And I did that to learn how to teach my fifth graders and my fourth graders. So it's kind of a passion to just figure out, you see so much talent that isn't utilized. How do we help everybody utilize what they have inside of them? So it has been a lifelong, from myself to my students and my children, you know, and that's what I've been pursuing. After I finished my coursework for my PhD, while I was still working on my dissertation, there was an opportunity to become a coach in my district. And so each building was going to get a coach, and it was going to be one of the current teachers, a teacher on special assignment. So I applied, and my fellow teachers said, yes, we'd like you to be our coach. And I was selected in our building to coach. And I did that for a little over 7 years. I worked with teachers on working on instructional strategies, meeting the needs of students, helping them develop whatever they wanted to develop for personal and professional growth. So I did that for a long time. But in education, you end up doing, you know, other duties as assigned. So my coaching was probably less than 10% of my actual workload, you know, between assessments and evaluation and things like that. And it started to blur the lines between administration and coaching. And, you know, it didn't feel as authentic to me as I wanted it to. And that was when I said, you know, this might be a good time to retire and start my next career, because I really did love those interactions with people when they say, this is what I want to do. How can I do it? You know, and how can you help me? And just providing the support that people needed was, it was very rewarding in itself, and you could see growth around you. And I really appreciated that. And that's what led me into the founding of Perception Coaching.
Okay. It's just so cool. I think of teachers, and I think of just being a teacher and how hard that must be. And I love that you just like kept trying to figure out, okay, how do we do this better? How do we do this better? How do we do this better? Because the teachers who really do kind of step up for the students and try to help them get over those little humps or recognize those things in themselves or push them forward in a productive way are like the people you remember for the rest of your life, you know, and those little things that come up 30 years later, you remember what that teacher did that maybe didn't mean much to you at that time, but it did when you look back, is you're like, oh my gosh, I realize what that did. So this is cool. I love that you just dove in and like, how do we do this? Because we need that in our system so much.
Oh yes, we do. Yes. And that just that positive approach. It's not, we're not trying to fix deficits. We're trying to work with what you do well so you can do a lot of things, right. You know, and being able to leverage natural abilities and not try and teach a fish to fly.
Right. Well, and just, yeah, to help the students see, be able to pick that out and help them see that. Yeah. You know, I mean, I was out of some college before sometimes I had people pointing out, well, these are your skills and your strengths. I'm like, really? I had no idea. Like, you know what I mean? Having that earlier would have been really helpful.
Oh, yeah. And being a person that can recognize strengths is
yes.
huge. And yeah. once you can find your own strengths, it's easier for you to recognize them in others, which builds a whole culture of appreciation, which is a beautiful thing.
Right. That's awesome. I love it. I struggle so much with our school systems, and I can't imagine, like I said, I can't imagine what it would be like to be a teacher in sometimes those where you feel like there's so much going on with behavioral issues and trying to prep kids for tests that you don't get to really teach them. I mean, I've known teachers who have not become teachers because they're like, I really have the passion for teaching, not all this other stuff. It's okay that I have to do some of that stuff, but I feel like I'm not getting to teach and really do my skill set. And that just breaks my heart because those are the people we need in teaching so
much. Oh, definitely.
Much,
yes.
You know? All right. So perception coaching. So now you've been doing perception coaching for how long?
Almost 3 years.
Okay. And so you've kind of talked about what these tests do, and maybe talk a little bit more in specific what they do, but maybe start out with who you're kind of working with and how it can be helpful with those. So I'm just looking at from my perspective, I did the Strengths Finder with you, mm-hmm. which was very cool. And I love the amount of ways the results are displayed to give you so many different ideas of not only how you can use it or what it looks like or what your skills kind of are and how it can be utilized with others and how to think about it. Like, what are the drawbacks? What are the benefits? What do you need to flourish? What do you bring to the table? And I just have enjoyed looking at the results in different ways that bring different ideas and mindsets and self-understanding to me. And it's very colorful. The results are beautiful.
Once again, addressing another stress. Some people look, you know, the color speaks to them. So you want to share a language that people can understand. So the more ways we can share it, the more likely we'll connect.
Right. The basics was fine. And then you started showing me all these graphs and colors and different things. And then it just like brought it together in a whole different way. And I'm kind of a visual person, so it helps me kind of remember things in a different way too. So I'm just like super impressed with the creative ways that they've figured out how to do this. And I can just see how the graphs, not only do you do the personal stuff, but then if you're doing it with a team, you have graphics that lay out everybody's, where they fall in these skill sets or strengths. And you can see compared to other people, and the way that you present it is not so much it's not about comparing yourself to others. It's about how do we work together with the skill sets that we have and bring them forward so everybody is doing their best.
And that's the beauty of a team. You know, you have that complexity. I mean, each person individually is so complex. You know, you have these 34 things that are approaches to how you do things. They're your talents, how you do things. But then, you know, you look at that and you add another person to that, and now you've strengthened some and added others, you know, because you have that cumulative effect of having the same strengths, which means your conversations carry that strength. And now you've added another strength because those that you differ in, they might bring up attention or they might supplement one another. So it just adds depth and just a further understanding and approach to different ideas that you're discussing. So,
were you able to do like the strengths finders and when you were a teacher? Were you able to do it with teams that you worked in?
I didn't with students, but I did with teachers.
Okay.
Yep. So with teachers, it was kind of interesting because, you know, some of these teacher teams had been together for 12 years, you know, and they kind of felt like they knew each other. Being able to look at that thing you know about somebody and then see it through a lens of strength instead of a behavior was really enlightening and productive for most of the teams. They would be able to say, oh, that's your harmony looking. You see an issue and you have to bring it up so that we can get it out of here because you can feel that discord in the group.
Right.
Or you have that restorative. You want to figure out these problems. So you identify those problems and then want to pursue that so that we can clear up problems. Or you're an includer, so you always pause the conversation and ask somebody else's opinion. You know? So just knowing that, oh, well, you're always interrupting and calling in somebody else. Well, no, that's includer. You know, so it gives people a different perspective on the behaviors to understand it as a talent, which then you can say, I'll make sure I give you some time to make sure we got everybody in here, you know, and different things like that. So it improves the team cohesiveness and function, you know,
right.
Productivity.
And probably can make some of those tensions, like you say, those tensions kind of go away a little bit or be lessened because you're seeing it as why. You understand a little more what their perspective is on it rather than just being annoying.
Yes.
I think of little kids, and I was reading an author. She was talking about raising her daughter, and she was saying how somebody was talking about how much her daughter was obstinate and, you know, not flexible. And she said, and she's going to grow up and she's going to use these as tools, and that's what I'm training her to do.
Yes.
So she doesn't just be the little girl that listens to everybody else and does what they want them to do. And so it's just, and the other person kind of flipped and was like, didn't see her as the naughty little girl,
right.
Quote unquote, but saw her as, oh, okay, she's trying to figure her own self out. She's got some strength there that she's using.
She's a disruptor. If she doesn't see the point of it, she's going to let you know.
I just thought that was cool. And that's what that reminded me of just being able to kind of be a little softer around our coworkers and our teams. And families, I'm thinking this could be a really interesting thing to do with families as well.
Oh, yes, it is. And, you know, I came to strengths later, and my children were young adults. And so my whole family took the strengths finder, and we found out that consistency is a trait my husband and both of my children have. And it's very low in my list. So then I kind of go, whom did I do them a disservice through our years together? You know, how do we address that? But it is, it's interesting. It allows you to understand what people need and what people can't bring necessarily. Mm-hmm. Because consistency is not as, I'm very random or global, as I prefer to call it. That's another way to see, you know, that randomness. And I like change, and I like moving things what I think is forward. But there are some things that routines and even rituals add to one's life that I struggle with, you know, mm-hmm. is getting that to work for me. So being able to know that and know what's expected allows you to soften some of your own approaches, you know, in deference to those you care about. So yes, I think just understanding one another, it really helps clarify things.
And are these with the StrengthsFinder, is it something that would, you know, if you did it now or you did it 10 years ago and then you did it again, is it something that's going to shift over time, or are those things that are going to be pretty consistent?
They're pretty consistent. Well, Gallup is the developer of this, and they are the pollsters, you know, so they do have test retest validity and reliability, you know, measures. And generally your top five are your top five, but your top 10, sometimes your top five, you'll have something wander out and they'll shift order a little bit, but usually they wander into your top 10. So okay. there is not a lot of variability there. It's pretty much standard because it's the way you approach things. You know, if you're a people person, you're generally a people person. You don't all of a sudden become a strategic thinker and just live there. Mm-hmm. You're considering people when you're doing the strategic thinking because there's a value for that and a natural inclination to that. So it doesn't just go away unless there's something severe that happens, or, you know, you have that aha moment in your life where you say, oh, I've always been a strategic thinker. I need to consider how this is affecting people. You might shift it a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it might be how you do your strategic thinking rather than the people focus. But so things might shift, but there's not a discernible shift, you know, in all the results.
Okay. And how young, like if a family was thinking about this, how young would it be appropriate to do this with kids?
Well, there are a couple other measures. So StrengthsFinder is basically an adult measure. And it, okay. and it really works for, I would say, because it's framed in the like a job, you know,
right.
in your career, during your work, you know, it's framed that way. If you have somebody that is a teenager and works, they will be able to translate like their schoolwork to the work,
Got
you know,
it.
And
okay.
be able to do that. So if they can readily do that transfer, they could also take the StrengthsFinder.
Okay.
There is a version that is exactly the same with the same types of results that is set more in an academic tone. And there's also a student version, you know, for younger people that has 10 different areas that it looks at. So there are a few different things, including, you know, Strengths Explorer that you can also investigate.
Okay.
But sometimes, and this is something I've always struggled with, is that whole need to label things.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's just nice to say, well, if the parents know about this, they can do some strength spotting with their children mm-hmm. and understand, kind of, you know, recognize the strength in their children and ask them about it. Because when you recognize it, it may be a behavior that's for a different reason and you don't know until you ask. Because we, you know, we often make assumptions based on behaviors that aren't accurate. But,
right.
but being able to talk about it is good.
Yeah, and you give enough tools where there is kind of some of those lists and those questions and how to think about things that would allow you to transfer that information.
Right,
that makes
sense. Right.
It's all online, right? So the mm-hmm. tests are all online. So some of you go in, you answer questions, and then it gives you results. And then you meet with people to really dive into those results and help them understand what they mean.
Yes, and this is any of those assessments you can take. But if you do nothing with it, you know, sometimes it's nice to just know something. But to be able to do something with it is empowering. And that's what I work with people to do, is to say, well, what does it mean that you're learner number one or whatever it is that you are? And how is that different than me being learner number one? And the beauty of the strengths is one of the things we like to say in the strengths world is no strength works alone. So I might be learner number one and you might be learner number one, but if you have a lot of relational talents and I have a lot of strategic thinking talents, mm-hmm. our learners look very different, you know? Mm-hmm. So being able to explore personally what your results are is more meaningful than having that generic report.
Right.
And there are some things, you know, there will be in your top five, when you get your top five report from Gallup, they will give you some insights, which are those things that are based on all of your results. So it's not just the generic, you know, whatever the strength is. It's whatever feeds that along with yours. Because when you have two strengths working together, that gives it a little more direction. And everything influences everything else.
Okay. So the results that we're getting is less about dividing out the layers of the cake and learning about that specific layer, but more making it a soup and going, okay, how do these things all fit and taste together?
Right.
So you have more help understanding what does this truly mean to you as a person, as your strengths combine together, rather than just what those strengths mean in
general. And sometimes it's a matter of what do those mean to you, because it is a self-report. You selected all these things and Gallup interpreted it and put it together. You know, so it's just another way for you to look at yourself. But then being able to say, well, when I look at this, I might be empathy number one and then intellection number two. Mm-hmm. But if I have a problem with a thing, I don't worry about empathy. I go directly to intellection, you know. So some of them, it's not that I always go number one, number two. I might say, well, at what time is your adaptability useful? You know, you're number five. Mm-hmm. And you can start thinking, well, I don't usually use it with people because this, but I use it with circumstances because of this, or whatever it is that, you know, so you start thinking about what you do.
Right.
And how you use what you do well.
So if somebody, okay, so somebody does a StrengthsFinder, whether they do it with them or the group, and then you get together, you talk about the results, and then you can, the option of continuing on coaching to kind of work on specific things, be it for a single person, one person doing this to help them with their personal goals, and then teams doing more of their teamwork. Is that the option that you provide?
Yeah, and a lot of times what we'll do is there's a three-step process that Gallup has developed and that is just a generally good development process, and that's the name it, claim it, aim it. So understanding what they are is your name it part. Claiming it is when you think about, well, how have I used that in the past? Personalizing it for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then the aiming it is, how am I going to use it purposefully to get done what I want to get done? So looking at that process, we can look at that quickly. And then the coaching really comes in when we say, well, how is your aiming working? Because a lot of times we'll try something and it won't work and then it will just fall back because we're so busy with life that it's really hard to keep refocusing to keep that goal in mind. And that's what the coach does, is kind of helps you say, okay, let's go back to that. That didn't work. What might work better? Let's try that for a while. And, you know, kind of coming around to increasing your chances for success.
Right. And taking into consideration these strengths,
right,
which then allow you to ask different questions and tackle things more productively, I can imagine.
Oh, yes.
Getting a little more to the meat of the sandwich, and when somebody is struggling, because you can kind of let go of a bunch of approaches right off the bat that are just probably not going to work for them.
Well, and a lot of times we can say, well, which strengths have you used? You know, and if they say, well, I've just been floundering, or I don't know what to do, say, well, how might this strength help you with that? You know, and being able to bring them back to what they do well.
Mm-hmm.
So they have that, you know, self-efficacy and feeling of competence. It's good.
And you work with people, too, in helping them blossom their strengths as well, kind of helping them. You know, sometimes I think I'm looking even at my own results and thinking, oh, I'm really good at that part, but I'm not so good at that part, but I think I could be better. I just need to figure out what my sort of block is.
Oh, right, right. And that's one of the things we talk about in development is, you know, you have talents. And this is the thing I learned with my students as a teacher. You have your talents. They don't become strengths until you apply them, you know, purposefully, mm-hmm. and you practice, you know, so being able to say, well, what could you try that will help you work on that? You know, what can you purposefully, because we do, a strength theme is made of a series of talents, and some of those talents are yours and some are not. And you may say, well, that one's mine, but I don't usually remember to, you know, consider that. So, mm-hmm. so then we can say, oh, let's bring that back to the forefront and make it more purposeful. So yes, I think when you're developing a talent into a strength, it is that, you know, it's like working a muscle. The more you work it purposefully and increase the challenge for it and make it, you know, stronger, the better, the more accessible it'll be later. You know, and we work on your strengths the same way.
What else am I forgetting to ask about the Strengths Finder in specific?
Well, we have lots of ways to look at ourselves, but then once we look at ourselves, we do like to work with others. And a lot of times if you say, well, I've got harmony, and I say, oh, I don't have harmony, how would you approach this? So learning who we can ask for help is a beautiful thing to be able to do. So knowing the strengths of people that you work with or that you admire or that you struggle with can right. really be helpful for you to kind of fill in some of your gaps. Mm-hmm. You know, and strengthen some of your strengths. I think that's the beauty of it. And that's that whole collaborative effort and appreciation of others. I think that strengths helps to develop.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's helpful too. I mean, looking at my own, it's helpful for me to see the things that landed at the bottom and kind mm-hmm. of go, okay. I mean, reading through is like, okay, yeah, that's why I didn't do so well when I tried that, or, you know, whatever. And so then it allows me, I think about that in a couple ways. You know, one, okay, I can let that thing go that I tried, but because it wasn't quite me in the first place. Or if it is something that you really need or want to do, it's the then you've got, again, these tools and these strengths to go, okay, how do I approach it in a way that speaks to me and
it's more authentic to you.
Exactly, yes. Yes. And that helps me flourish. And I think that's, you know, that can be so helpful with us too. You know, we want to do something and then you do it and you try to do it the way you perceive it should be done. But if you don't know that there's other options or ways to approach it differently, because maybe you are looking at a mentor who has just such a different style than you do. You know, I'm thinking about some sales kind of training type things that I've been in where it's just pushing everybody to be the same person. And some people just cannot do things in that same way. It doesn't mean they can't do it, but they need a different approach. And being able to be sensitive to that and understand
that. And sometimes, because you lead with relationship building, you know, that's where a lot of your strengths are, because there are the four different domains of relationships, influencing, executing, which is getting things done, and strategic thinking. You lead with relationship building. So you might even be able to reframe it and say, well, I'm not trying to sell to you. I'm trying to find you the services that you need that I can help you with. Right. You know, and that's not selling. That's matching. That's giving people what they need. It's not trying to sell them something they don't want.
Right.
You know,
right.
So being able to reframe it allows you to be more authentic to yourself and still do what you have to do.
Right.
And just by knowing what you appreciate and your approach can help you reframe it more effectively so that you can pursue it more effectively.
Right. Well, and I'm thinking of, you know, in the process of looking for a job, like how great it would be to do this before you get to college or kind of in that time, you know, having some life experience, but before you go to school, because I'm thinking of exactly what you're saying. I do not work well in a high-powered, sales driven by numbers only situation. That is not okay. That's just not okay for me. But if I can be in a situation where, like you're saying, the relationship, building the relationship, helping the person figure out exactly what they need rather than just sort of pushing them into, and some people can do that. I mean, obviously, we've all been sold by them.
Yes, we
do not care what, they do not care that we get what we need. They care that they sell you the highest commission thing. And, but if I know that, and I know that that is just a core part of me, it makes it a lot easier to be gentle with myself and look for that approach, look for that job or that thing that works for me, but doesn't, I don't have to sort of fit a square peg in a round hole.
Yeah.
You know, again, this is why I think because when you take the StrengthsFinder and you get all this information, you can look at the strengths that are way at the bottom of your list, you can start to figure out why they don't work or why for you it's just not going to be your thing.
Why you don't call on those strengths.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And how much you would have to maybe change about yourself to be that person. Yeah. And I think that's really cool.
Yep. You know, and another thing I do with clients is we look at values, because I think if what you're trying to accomplish either offends your strengths or offends your values, you're going to have a difficult time. Because you might have a job that utilizes your strengths perfectly, but if they don't have a mission that aligns with your values, you may not be as engaged as you could be. Right. You know, and you may actually, you know, have enough inner tension where you're struggling to be happy there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so being able to look at different things, and like we talked about, the complexity of a single person, you might have so much alignment, but if there's still something that's not, you know, you got that thorn in your paw,
right,
that is
right.
not working for you, figuring out what that is allows you to either reframe it or make a change depending on what is best for you. And having all the information helps you make better decisions.
Right.
And that's what I like to find the information that you need.
Yeah. Well, oh my gosh, I'm thinking about somebody who might be, you know, okay, I need a career change, or I need a job change, or I'm not happy, but I don't quite know why I'm not happy. That this could be a great thing to sit down and talk through with you to help pull those things, what's working, what's not working, and help you see things that you just don't even see for yourself.
Oh, yes. And a lot of times people don't, you know, it's a luxury to think about yourself in any kind of time, you know, to be able to say, well, what do I like? Well, it doesn't matter. I got to do this. No, you don't actually. It might be better. You might be better off if you take a moment and figure out what you really want. Because being able to pursue what you really want is rewarding in a lot of ways, in not just a paycheck.
Right.
I mean, your happiness, joy is huge. Because if you can joyfully go, you know, you may need less money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't need to compensate for your unhappiness here by going and doing something else all the time. You know,
right.
you have more happiness. So, but I think finding that time and just making that investment in yourself is difficult for people,
mm-hmm.
is to be able to say, yes, I want to figure out what I like.
Right.
When so many people have said, it doesn't matter what you like, just take care of it.
Right. Know? Just do what you got to do. Well, and I'm, you know, even if you are in a job where you don't maybe feel like you can move out of that job for, you know, golden handcuff purposes or whatever,
yes,
this might
exactly.
be, this could also help you reframe the things that you do in a way that you can live with, or in a way that you can help you see, or maybe even adjust a little bit what you
yeah.
do. But your mindset about that can be really helpful.
Or you may say, well, I'm not getting this, but if I were to join this nonprofit board, I could do this.
Right.
You know, and
yeah.
continue doing what I'm doing because I need to do that. But I can fulfill some of my needs for my values and my strengths in this other role.
Right.
And then I could try that. And I think that's it, is each person needs something different. Some people need a complete change. And they know they need a complete change because they're very unhappy. But most of us are doing pretty well, and we're just looking for that doing really well.
Right, right. Kind of tweaking things a little bit,
exactly.
and making it a better experience.
Or to find ways to pursue those goals. You have the goal, and you're not sure why you have that goal,
right.
but that's your goal. So how can you achieve that? Or reframe the goal so that you can get there. So,
right.
But and it is, it's really about quality of life, being able to find what makes your life full.
Yeah, I was just really impressed with this when I did it. And it was fun to do. and it was hard a little bit, but it was fun to do. And then to come up with these results, and then to really see, like I said, the colors and the words and the definitions and or concepts. It's not even just defining, because it feels much more gentle than that.
Mm-hmm.
It brings out these concepts of here's what you might need to thrive, and here's what you bring to the table, and just ways to think about it that I think could be so thought-provoking. So I just really enjoyed the process of doing this. This was really fun, and it was very thought-provoking, and it's something that I know that I will look at multiple times. Like, I can see that this is something that I'm looking at and digesting now, but I want to continue digesting and thinking about as I go forward and different things too.
And I appreciate that, because I think it's the richness of experience that allows us to grow the most. You know, when you have an experience, you can dip back into and pull out something new. You know, like when you mentioned, you know, you think of that second grade teacher that did this for you, and you can still pull that out, you know.
Yeah.
Some years later, we won't say how many, but some years later. But it's that experience that is multifaceted, mm-hmm. that you may have some regrets about, or you may have, you know, some celebration in, or whatever it is, there's lots of things to it, and being able to look back on it and figure out, how did I contribute to that? What are my strengths that, you know, relate to that? How could I do that again? You know, being able to look at those things, I think, is very valuable.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and making notes too. I think that's another thing. I put some notes on some of the things that related to my jobs and what worked and what didn't, and so that I can recall that later, mm-hmm. too, and build on that. So
definitely.
This was fun.
I'm glad.
I really enjoyed that. Anything else you want to say about the Strengths Finder and how you work with people on that?
I do have my little quote. 1 in 4 people say they get to do what they do best every day.
Wow, okay.
And that is not enough.
So
I would like to help more people do that. And I think knowing your strengths allows you to do what you do best every day.
Right. I did some work with a gentleman who was a garbage collector, and he's like, I love my job. And he knew why he loved his job. It's like, because I'm an early riser, and because I have this alone time. And so he's like, I know that I collect trash, but there are so many great things. And when I get to go home, I get to go home and let that be. And many people would look at it and go, you're a trash collector. You know what I mean? Like, that's not something we think of as a great thing, but he's like, oh my gosh, it just fits me so well in these certain ways, and it lets me have the rest of my life, and I love it. Yeah. And that's a really great thing to find, you know?
Yes, yes. And not everybody knows where they are with that. You know,
right.
they don't take the time to look because they may be afraid to look, or they may just be content with where they are and not know that actually you're a little more than content. You're kind of happy.
These are the things that are feeding you, and that you're feeding the world, and it's synergistically working. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yes, that makes sense. And what a great tool to help. We can all use a little more happiness and feeling like we're being productive and purposeful in our life and in our zone. So that's
definitely awesome.
And then the emotional intelligence. So let's talk about that a little bit. That's one I haven't done, but it looks very intriguing.
It's very colorful also.
It is also very colorful, yes. So, yeah, talk about that and how people use that. And you've kind of talked about that a little bit in the integration. But
even
defining, again, what emotional intelligence means and how that looks to the world.
Yes, and emotional intelligence is different than the strengths. The strengths come from positive psychology, where we're saying, you know, what is right with people? The emotional intelligence is a little different type of test. It's a norm reference test where you take it and you're compared to others, and then you can see where you can grow and retest. So these are measures that you're looking to change, you know, that you might want to say, ooh, well, my stress management is kind of low. I would like to improve that. How can I do that? So once you get your results from your emotional intelligence assessment, that's when you're going to say, well, when I'm working with others, how well am I expressing myself? You know, and things like that. So being able to look at deficits is what it looks at deficits, but I think you can still approach it in that positive way, is to say, well, I'm really good at understanding myself. How can I use that to express myself better? You know, and being able to look at things a little differently. And a lot of times what we pay attention to is what grows. So once you say, oh, well, I just never paid attention to that, the emotional intelligence assessment can help you see where you pay your most attention and maybe where you want to pay more attention.
Uh-huh. Is that something that somebody would potentially do on its own, or is it really better in conjunction with something else?
Well, I like most things with strengths, because as soon as you're starting to learn something, it's good to know your strengths so you know how to approach that learning.
Okay.
You know, but you might already know that you like a lot of information. In which case, just giving you the test and letting you dive in is sometimes a really nice way to start, because some people naturally, that's what they do, is they like their research and they like to read and they like to do that. You have other people that say, no, I don't want to read anything. I just want to know, what do I need to work on? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. So it really depends on the individual person. So I like to have an idea of what people prefer before I decide what all they need. And some people say the tests freak me out, in which case, you know, you may lose a little validity by doing multiple tests.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Because they might say, oh, yeah, I didn't like that StrengthsFinder test. Oh, I got to take another test? I don't want to do that. You know, they might. So where you said, oh, I found challenge, I kind of like that, some people will say, I found challenge, did not like that at all. So, you know, so understanding what people want is kind of essential. And if people are working on, how do I work with others? How do I get my voice heard? For instance, mm-hmm. You know, we could use the influencing themes in strengths, or we could look at, you know, how people are self-aware and share their understanding in emotional intelligence. But yeah, talking to a person is kind of a good way to get to that, which one would be best for them. Because the emotional intelligence is really nice. I mean, there's 5 different areas. There's 3 sub-areas, so there's 15 different things. They give you a page report on each one.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So you end up with a 30-page report by the time you're done, which is kind of exciting for some of us, mm-hmm. and a little daunting for others. So, but I like to find out what people want, because if you know what you want, it gives us direction. And if you don't know what you want, that also gives us direction. Mm-hmm. I have some clients that they're looking for their purpose. Well, I don't know what I want to do for a job or for my next job. I don't know what makes me happy, because I've always just done what I'm supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we have those conversations, and then we talk about values, and we talk about their strengths. We may talk about their emotional intelligence if they really engage with that part of it, you know. So it really depends on the individual as to which approach we like to use.
Okay. And do you have like a whole other value exercise that you do too with folks?
Yes,
okay.
I have a few card sorts which I really like to use. Card sorts allow you, you know, have you ever been asked, what do you do well? And you gotta make a list. I have a card sort that's what I do best. And there's probably 65 cards, and it just says stuff on it.
Okay.
So you can say, yes, that's me. No, that's not me. That's kind of me. And sort them. Instead of having to come up with 65 ideas,
right.
You're now spending your cognitive powers on how do you value these. And then I have a values card sort, which has a bunch of values on it. And
okay.
You can just sort through them, because it reduces the cognitive load for the coming up with the ideas and increases your ability to judge, you know,
right.
And go to that. So I like to do card sorts with people, you know, for values, passions, what they do best, belief systems, things like that, so that they can say, oh, well, I really value my autonomy, and yet I'm always told what to do, which is probably why I'm a little unhappy at this point, you know.
Right.
Or, you know, I really value helping others. And you're in a position that you can't really do that. You know, if maybe you're in sales that have a goal that is exclusive of the client and inclusive of the company, and you want to shift that. So being able to figure out where your values align with things is kind of nice. But having a card sort is nice, because it kind of gives you so many things to choose from.
Yeah. Well, and it's also, when I've done things like that, it first of all, you don't have to think of the words, which is helpful. And
yep.
It also helps you understand when they're true and when they're not true. You know, the whole, oh, I'm really this way in this situation, but I'm really not this way in this situation, you know,
which
kind of helps you, that person, as well as you kind of knowing the nuances of the person as well.
Oh, yes. So. And a lot of times I take pictures while people are doing card sorts of their cards, because some people will just have the three piles, like me, not like me, kind of like me, and, you know, because they just sort them out. And we have other people that kind of set up hierarchies and have them all spread out on the table.
Uh-huh.
And then they have them grouped. And this one goes with these. So these are all important, but this one kind of encapsulates it. You know, so just looking at how people approach, because it is a complex thing, you know, to be able to judge all of these things.
Yes.
And the way people approach it is very interesting, but it also kind of shows how they sort information. Because I've had people do the values sort and end up with 19 core values, and you know you can't have 19 core values. You hold them all important, but if everything's important, it's really hard to tell what's important. So that gives us a great starting point for coaching conversations,
right?
And to set up coaching goals.
So, yeah,
but those are, you know, I have a lot of tools, because different tools bring out different things, and depending on what people have when they come to me, tells me, you know, what do we need to find? Because if you already have it, you don't need to learn any more about it. You know, it's just like having that student come into fifth grade math and really is an eighth grade mathematician. Mm-hmm. You know, they are not going to learn anything in math while they're getting fifth grade instruction. We need to find a way to give them other things.
Right.
You know, and that's the way most clients are, is a set strategy is not going to work for most people, because they're all at different places in a strategy. So being able to personalize that is my favorite thing to do.
Right. Wow. Yeah. That's a lot to sort of hold in their space, but so cool, because it's what helps us understand, as a receiver of coaching,
right.
It's what helps us understand us, and you as the coach are able to sort of see things that we don't recognize, because there are lifelong habits, right? Like, I'm thinking of the whole organizing. There's a lot that you can see from that they don't see, because it's just how they've gone about doing it. Right.
Right.
So that's really cool.
Going back to my background, I'm not an educator at heart.
Okay.
I've always been really good at the math and the sciences, and I've enjoyed those. But the first role that I had that kept my attention for more than 2 years, I was a bookkeeper at Woolworths here in town.
Oh, wow.
Like long ago. So that was very interesting. I did that for about 2 years. I was in collections for an international corporation for about 2 years. I did everything for about 2 years until I was in education. And the complexity and the challenge and just the diversity is what draws me.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much to do, and there is no silver bullet. You might say that this is the right answer for edge. There is no silver bullet. This is not a werewolf. This is a complex thing. We need lots of solutions for lots of needs. And that's kind of, I like that. Mm-hmm. And being able to match those strategies and needs together is my passion.
Wow. Yeah, you need a lot going on to keep your brain busy.
Exactly. And I love that. Yeah, that's where I thrive.
Right. Yes. Well, have fun. Well, so I'm curious. I know you talked about the teachers, the success. Do you have any other success stories or some big things that people have really gained from walking through some of this that really surprised them or helped them move into the world in a whole different way?
Well, I've had two different, I'll call them stakeholders. You know, one was a special education director, and another is a person on a nonprofit that's working with marginalized individuals. And talking strengths is a different approach. And there's an urge to protect people, and protecting is necessary, because some people have been taken advantage of or have felt so much frustration that it's difficult. But one special education teacher that I was working with, you know, I'd say, well, have you asked them this? And they said, well, no, because they can't do that. I said, have you asked them? Well, no. And I said, you know, right now you're making a ceiling for that child. And it gave them a complete different approach. Mm-hmm. I said, they may not be able to do this thing, but there will be a time when they will be able to do it and you will have assumed they couldn't. Mm-hmm. And you automatically shut that door. You know, so it's just that awareness that people have so much inside of them that we just don't know how to access, that we need to ask them about it. And the nonprofit person had the same, well, we're not trying to fix deficits. We're trying to get them to use their strengths. Yes, exactly. You know, because that is the goal, is understanding everybody has value and they can contribute so much and so much more than they currently are. They just don't know how to access it or how to share it. You know, there's different blocks that occur in everybody's lifetime. I mean, we've all had those blocks, mm-hmm. where we just did not feel productive or did not feel valuable. But if we can help them pass those by finding where the value is and giving them an outlet for that, we can help them. And I think that's where I've had the most impact, is being able to help people say, oh, I've been kind of coming at this the wrong way. Uh-huh. You know, I know I can still support, but then add that challenge in an appropriate level. And that is really the biggest tension, is providing challenge and support in the right proportions. So that's something that every individual is going to be different. And you have to say, we're trying to figure out how you can do what you want to do. So it might take a little, oh, that's not going to work, but we'll try again and figure out what will work. You know, and it's just that time and iteration right. that it takes. And I think as soon as people kind of shift their mindset a little bit to that, it becomes a more positive interaction. And at least for those two individuals, they both found joy in that realization.
Well, and I think, you know, you can read a ton of self-help books and you can read a lot of things and you can gain little pieces of understanding of yourself, but then be able to conversate with somebody about the real, how it fits into your life and what you're doing. That's where I think the rubber can really meet the road in a really cool way, because that's when you start to put more things together. And being able to talk about and getting things on the table and having somebody else's perspective, of course, is so important. We need that more in more companies and more in places where I think people have decided we don't need it because the employees, quote unquote, just do this work. And they kind of are put into a box, and there's so much better that could be made in those situations with those people and have everybody working together and happy by little tweaks. But you got to know how to look for the ways to tweak.
Oh, exactly. You know? Exactly.
Anything else that I'm forgetting to ask?
No, but the only thing I would add, and we've hinted on this, but I think just putting it as a little directive might be a good way to do it, is, you know, to have people, you know, think of a success you've had in the past. What has contributed to that? What did you contribute? Your successes are not a matter of, you know, the alignment of the planets and all these pieces of luck and chance working for you. You contribute and you make yourself ready for that based on your strengths and what you bring to the table. So considering what you've done in the past, what are some strengths that have contributed to your successes or your happiness? Because success is, it could be money, it could be happiness, it could be joy you brought to others. You know, what do you consider a success and how do you contribute to that? Because if you understand how you contribute, you can replicate that. You can do that again. You can have that achievement or success or happiness more often if you decide that's what you're going to do. So I guess that's the objective I have, is to help people find those ways that they contribute to the world and be able to pursue those.
Right. And that's a great way to start. I mean, literally sitting down with a pen and a paper and kind of going, what worked and what pieces of that worked and what did I bring to the table? And what, you know, I think of sometimes you do something and it didn't work all those other times, but it did work that time. It's like, why did it work that time?
Yep,
what
digging.
Other people were in place, or what did somebody else help support that allowed you to cross that barrier? And so then you can see not only your strength, but see, this is where I need a little help doing this next time.
Oh, exactly. Yep.
So yeah, being, that's a great way to start and help ourselves help ourselves find our own little successes.
Well, and like you said, you can include more people in your successes because, right. You know, just recognizing that collaborative effort is huge because, I mean, knowing our strengths is just the beginning of being able to utilize strengths effectively. And understanding the strengths of others is, yeah, exponential growth right. there.
Yeah. Well, and too, and then when you need help, maybe you feel a little braver in asking for help because you know what you're actually asking for.
Oh, yes. You know? Yep. You can be more succinct.
Yes, exactly. Well, so if somebody wants to work with you, talk about that, what that might look like. And then I definitely want to talk about how to contact you and reach you. But what does it look like to work with you? I mean, we've talked about, you know, with the StrengthFinder and the emotional intelligence, you know, you're taking a test, but you're starting with a meeting with you to figure out where to go.
Yes, we start by finding out what brings you to me. You know, some people, it's just curiosity. I just want to know, you know, what you do. And for some people, it's, you know, I've had this goal. Every year on New Year's, I say I'm going to do this, and it lasts until, you know, the 12th of January, you know, things like that. So finding out what you want out of life, out of, you know, out of the coaching is where we'll start. Because it's more of a journey to say, you know, do I have a goal? Do I need a goal? Do I actually have a mission? And most mission-oriented people don't set goals. They are all about what they're doing. They don't need goals because they have an overarching mission that guides mm-hmm. their actions. Mm-hmm. You know, so figuring out what you want and what your purpose is for meeting with me is where we'll start. And I do a free introductory coaching session just to say, can we talk to one another in an authentic way, and do we understand one another is a good start. You know, there's a best fit coach for you, and if it's not me, there's another one. So, you know, coaching is kind of a rich relationship, and you want to make sure you're comfortable with it. But I do a free one so that we can kind of say, can we figure out where you want to go first or next, you know, and we'll go there. Whether you're looking for purpose, a goal, a mission, or support along the way, because I do what I like to call is a progress partner, where I can check in with you in a regular fashion. It's kind of an accountability piece, you know, and just kind of check in and say, well, did you do that exercise you told your therapist you were going to do? Or, you know, things right. like that. The things that you want to do, but you're looking for the right strategy to help you do them. Okay. You know, I can help with that. Mm-hmm. But being able to talk to me first is kind of where we start, just to make sure we're a good match. Okay. And that's a good thing. And then we'll go wherever you need to go because, you know, between the two of us, we'll go alongside one another and try things out. And my job is really, I know you can do what you want to do. My job is to help you get there more efficiently. You know, something that may have taken several years will take fewer because you have somebody that's helping you focus on it more productively.
Right.
So that's kind of my role.
And, you know, a lot of what we're talking about is definitely like personal goals, workplace, life functioning. I can imagine just in a health and wellness level that you could also be really helpful in helping people with their health goals too, right?
Oh, yes. I'm a person, I was probably, I was about 40 pounds overweight for most of the time I was raising my children. And then when they grew up, I said, oh, I should get into shape. And so then I, you know, and throughout the whole time, you know, I'd been doing, you know, 24-hour walks. You know, I'd been fit, but I'd been overweight. So everything was a lot more work than it needed to be for me, for what I like to do. Mm-hmm. And then I said, well, you know, I'd go to the gym and I'd work out intensely and do all that every now and then it'd just fall off. And I found that, oh, I've got to do things every day. Because if I do it every day, I can't do, okay, I'll just do it tomorrow. You know, it's every day, so I just don't have a choice. Because that's a strategy that works for me.
Uh-huh, right.
But it took me, you know, 20 years to find that strategy. So I would help you find your strategy faster. And it might not be my strategy, but it would be your strategy. But yes, for fitness goals and things, I do a 5K a day at this point.
Nice.
And I run and walk, you know, so it's just kind of, and sometimes that's how we do our coaching sessions. I have clients that we do walk and talks.
Oh, cool.
So they said, I want to be more active, but I really like coaching. I don't have time to do any of this. I said, how about we walk and coach at the same time?
Nice.
So then it builds two routines that they kind of wanted to do.
Yeah.
So I like double dipping when I coach.
Well, hey, we talk about it all the time. You know, walking meetings are a great thing to do, and it gets out.
So no, I agree. I mean, wellness, I mean, your mind, your body, when everything is working for you, you're just a happier soul that can live longer.
Right.
And that's a beautiful thing.
Cool. A health coach combined with a little bit. That's awesome. I love it. So how do people find you if they want to reach out to you?
Well, I am at perceptioncoaching.org or .net. So perceptioncoaching.org. I have a website that just went live last week. So it's been in the works for a couple of years. So it's now live. So you can reach me there. There are some scheduling opportunities there. And when you look, you can see that free introductory coaching session. I am happy to do that on the phone. I really love to meet people face to face. So if you're in the Northland, Duluth area, that's perfect. I will come to you or we can meet somewhere. But that's probably the best place to find me. I also have my email, but my name spelling is sometimes I'm Barb Bengtson. It's Bengtson, which is oftentimes transposed. So it might be best to go perceptioncoaching.net or perceptioncoaching.org, and I'm sure Judy will have
links in there in the notes. Yes,
yep, to be able to contact me via email or.
You work with people wherever they are. I mean, obviously, like you said, you like to meet people in person when you can. But if somebody is far off, you can.
Yes, I've done phone coaching and via interactions like Zoom or something of that sort. We can find something that would work with video or without. However, I like to meet people where they're comfortable, because that's the best place to learn. Is if you're comfortable, you're much more receptive, mm-hmm. and able to share more effectively. And if you can share more effectively, we all understand each other
right
better. So I'll meet you where you are.
Thank you. This has been really fun. It's been fun to talk to you and kind of learn where you're coming from, what you do. And it's been great to have the experience of doing the Strengths Finder and getting to work with you a little bit and understand that as well. So this has been a really good experience for me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, yes. And it's always a joy. That's how I learn about people. I'm not a relationship person. I'm a strategic thinker and an executor. So finding resources like this helps me understand other people. So I appreciate getting to know you better too. So thank you.
And again, you can connect with Barb at perceptioncoaching.org. You can find her details as well as the initial coaching session and about other workshops that she does and also events she has coming up as well. In the show notes, I will also put, of course, her contact information along with her Facebook page link and the link to the Northland Coaches Consortium and to the other episode 47 that she was also in. If you haven't quite got enough Barb and you need some more, you can listen to episode 47 as well, where she appears with a couple of the other coaches from the Coaching Consortium. As I mentioned, I took the Strengths Finder with Barb. It was really enjoyable working with her. She definitely knows her stuff and the strengths and how they interact with each other inside and out. So it was fun to talk about that. And they present the information in multiple different ways to think about it a little differently. So I can see some amazing benefits, especially if you've got a big group of folks. But even on your own, I think the information that they give you and talking about, you know, ways to approach situations or for things to think about, I think are really helpful and affirming and also just helpful in understanding some of the things that you might have done or ways you might have approached things or things you might have avoided or things that didn't go quite right in the past. So I was impressed with the tool, the information, the potential, and then working with Barb again, just I think also has such a great potential to bring things to a whole another level. So good stuff. Thank you so much for listening today. Check out the other episodes at
wellnessrenpodcast.com. You can subscribe via iTunes, or when you're on the website, you can sign up for the email that comes out each week with the episode and the episode link. And if you are one of the folks getting the emails, when you hit that episode, if you want to look at the other episodes, on the upper left, you're going to see a link that says Home Podcast. When you click there, that's going to give you the list of all the other episodes available by scrolling down and clicking on the link that says older episodes. So just an FYI from a listener asking a question that I am figuring if they have the question, so do other people as well. I just want to express my gratitude for those of you who have shared the podcast with somebody else who you think might be interested. And certainly a lot of the folks that I'm talking to are from Duluth, Minnesota, but many of these, the topics or the practitioners, coaches, etc., many of them can work all across the world. And I have had feedback from people who have been on the show who have been contacted by people from other parts of the country as well as other parts of the world. So that is super duper exciting. It's super exciting to know that this is getting out there and people are able to take advantage of finding people who they can learn about and are excited to work with. So that makes me super happy. That is the goal, is getting information to the people who need it. So yay. those are the wins that are awesome. And I love hearing about that stuff. And I really do appreciate the feedback, be that from people who have been on the show as interviewees, as well as people who listen. I really, really value that feedback. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Also, I want to thank those of you who have taken the few extra clicks to go to the website, the wellnessrenpodcast.com website, and clicked on the support the podcast page where you are connected to the Amazon links and purchased items. Anything that you purchase, it actually doesn't even have to be anything on that list. So if you went, you thought you wanted to buy a book that we talked about, or you knew you wanted to buy a kitchen table, you can click through there, and that you don't have to purchase that, but anything else in that trip, that shopping trip, does count to support the podcast. So, and again, that's a no cost to you option. If you are wanting to put a little bit in, we are grateful for that as well. And you can go to the website. You'll see on the left is a become a patron. And if you like what you're doing and you want to support what we're doing so we can keep doing it, we will greatly accept your support, be it $1 a month or more. It doesn't matter. Whatever you want to do or can do is so wonderful and so appreciated. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I also want to give a shout out and a thank you to those who have taken a moment to say something on either Facebook or the podcast webpage, the show notes. If you haven't visited the show notes, when you click on the title, you'll get the show notes, and there's a bunch of information about the episode, and then also sometimes comments are left by people who have listened as well. So I want to thank you for those who have engaged, left your thoughts, and added to the community. So thank you. Until next time, may you continue to find the pieces that fit into your health and wellness puzzle beautifully. Take care.